Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Visit WholeFoodsMarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more and find the store nearest to you.
I'm HRN's Communications Director Kat Johnson with a preview of this week's episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. We decided it's high time we do an episode about Mary Jane.
Marijuana, things are happening.
That's right. This episode is about pot. We're exploring the rhetoric surrounding legalization in New York's recent gubernatorial primaries. And a cheesemonger turned cannabis consultant shares the tricks of the trade.
Great. So do you want to conquer the world? Do you want to have hazy eyes? Do you want to, you know, just relax all day and be floaty?
And we find out how one exemplary South Carolina farmer is trying his hand at a new crop.
Every plant that comes up from seed is different. And so it's learning how the plant grows, how it responds, and then familiarizing myself and my senses with this plant.
Plus, Hannah Forden and I taste test the hottest new cocktail ingredient, CBD. So subscribe to Meat and Three wherever you listen to podcasts and be the first to know when the newest episode of Meat and Three drops.
Welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and we are coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. This is the 191st episode of the series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is considered one of the nation's most prolific restaurateurs, and I will introduce him fully in a moment. First, as I do on every show, I will start out with my PR tip, and then later we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to master the art of collaboration. By definition, collaboration is the act of working with someone to produce or create something. Or to take it one step further, it's understanding that no one is greater than the whole, or that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. One of the keys to collaborating is knowing your strengths and finding those who complement your skill set with different ones, being strong where you may be weak. So seek to collaborate and achieve greatness. It's an art. That's my tip today. Now, before I introduce my guest today, just for my regular listeners, there was a little change up. So Jordan Salcito is not going to be on the show today as we had scheduled, but she will be on at a later date. So stay tuned for that. Today, I'm super thrilled to have my guest calling in from Chicago. It is Donnie Madea. He is the managing partner and owner of One Off Hospitality Group. For his first project, Blackbird, which is now celebrating its 20th anniversary, Donnie forged a partnership with Chef Paul Kahn that would ultimately lead to some of Chicago's most groundbreaking and memorable dining establishments. One-off's restaurants include Avec, The Publican, The Violet Hour, Big Star, Publican Quality Meats, Dove's Luncheonette, and there's even more than that. And Donnie has received numerous James Beard Awards and nominations, and most recently, he won Outstanding Restaurateur in 2015. So welcome, Donnie.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks for coming on my show today. I'm thrilled to talk with you and hear more about your career and everything that's happening with One Off. I always like to start out with my guests and find out about their background and how they got into the hospitality industry. So let us know, did you always want to be a restaurateur, or what inspired you to get into the business?
Through osmosis. I had an incredible mother and aunt. They were twins that were the greatest cooks and bakers, and they were super hospitable. But I didn't know that at an early age. I had a chance to witness it on a daily basis. But when I mean they were hospitable, anybody was welcome in my mother's home, anyone. So sometimes they would run into friends that they haven't seen for years, and they would invite them back for dinner. I can bring any amount of my friends over to our house randomly, and they would just accept them with no quorums or no quorums whatsoever. They would just let them in the house. So not knowing that early or just witnessing, I call that osmosis, only because later on, I think that's where I picked up my hospitable nature, welcoming guests in.
Right. Well, that makes sense, and I believe in osmosis. What did you study? Did you go to school for hospitality management or anything, or how did you get restaurant experience?
Just by working in the industry for many, many years before I opened my first restaurant. So I actually bartended for almost 10 years in different casual settings. I actually worked for a dear friend of mine who we went to high school together, and his family has been in the restaurant business for four generations.
Oh, wow. Did you always in Chicago, all of your restaurant experience?
All of my restaurant experiences in Chicago. I actually held a seat at the Board of Trade, and I actually put myself, I financed myself by bartending. That's how I made a living. And when I like to tell this story as I failed miserably as a commodities trader, but I succeeded as a bartender, restaurant host.
Certainly. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I lived in Chicago from 1995 to 98 after college, and mostly worked in restaurants. On the high end, I was a server at Charlie Trotter's. So I'm familiar with your city a bit, and I have fond memories and learned a lot from my experiences there.
How was your time at Trotter's?
You know, it was amazing. It was like grad school in the culinary arts. I learned so much. It was very intense. I mean, people who know Charlie, he was intense, but I'm so grateful I had that opportunity. It was, you know, it was special. So
we're actually grateful to have him as a mentor, all of us here in Chicago.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. And I'm thinking back to when I left in 98 and moved to New York. And when I think about the West Loop neighborhood, I never went to the West Loop neighborhood back then because there was nothing to go to. But this brings me to Blackbird, which I believe, since your 20th anniversary, you opened in 98 and was a pioneer in that neighborhood, completely changed it. So how did you meet Paul Kahn and come to open this restaurant?
Paul and I met through a acquaintance. I worked at a restaurant on the north side, which was about three or four blocks away from where Paul was working. And we used to do this industry night on Wednesdays. Let me see if I can phrase this correctly. The chef that I was working with, her husband was a line cook with Paul, and he was developing his own ideas, and he was leaving the restaurant where he was working at, Irwin's at the time, and the chef that I was working with, Chef Rosenthal, Joe Rosenthal, said that we should have a conversation because he was leaving, and there may be an opportunity to join forces. So I went there for brunch, and the story goes that he worked the line the night before, did about 250 covers, and then he came in for brunch, and he was probably did another 250 for brunch, and he looked a little weathered. He was full of egg on his apron, and I just sat down for brunch. It was late. I introduced myself to him and said that, you know, I had a space in mind. I had some plans and would love to talk to him further. And we met the next that Monday next, and we sat down and collaborated with our other business partner and Rick DeArmet. And we knew we had some similarities, and we struck a chord with one another, and we carried on the conversation and decided to go in business together.
Did you ever think it would be what it is today and that you'd grow into such a strong restaurant group with so many different concepts back then?
No, that's funny. It seems funny now when you look back. And no, what we were striving for is to be the best 67-seat restaurant in Chicago. That was our goal. That was our only goal. 7 days a week, every waking moment, just digging in and trying to do something a little different, with a little bit more care, with a little bit more flavor, with a little bit different style. And I believe that we also were able to accomplish that.
Yeah, certainly. So when did you, or why did you decide then, what was your second restaurant? Was that a Vec? Like, when did you know it was time to maybe do restaurant number two?
Certainly not like it is today. We waited. We made a calculate move with the space across the alley from us. We in Chicago have alleys. You don't. So the alleys separate these two concepts. But when you look at them, they're our friendship and our, with help from our design and architect Thomas Schlesher, we were able to marry these two or pair these two very strategically. But it took us 5 years to come up with a new concept and also to put the deal together.
Yeah, so I know from being a little familiar with your group and just about the name that, well, maybe you want to explain. I mean, one-off hospitality comes from the idea that all of your concepts are different. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I think one-off, if you were to look in the dictionary, it's simple. It's each restaurant is its own. It's something done once. That's what one-off means. Like, we don't regurgitate the concept and open up in another part of town. I mean, we use influences, especially for the publican, but each one of the concepts is its own, and its own brainstorming, its own. It has its own nurturement. It has its own idea. It has its own identity. So, yeah, I think that's why we came up with the one-off corporate name.
And how do you come up then with the different concepts? Is it they all come from different places, or different people have different ideas of what you want to do next?
I think the importance behind coming up with an idea or a concept is collaboration, true collaboration with people that you want to go in business with, or staff members that you want to grow with. You know, like, for instance, Terry Alexander, who had his own career, and Terry and I went in business with another friend in 2002, just about 6 months or a year before we opened a Vec. And his sensibility matched our sensibility, and we decided to do another business together, which was the Publican, and that formula has proven good for us because we have seven partners that own responsibility and also have ownership, we all have a certain area of expertise that we'd like to use to perform a business task and also operational task, and I think that I don't have certain ingredients that Paul has. Paul doesn't have certain ingredients that Terry has, and so on to the other business partners. So we all have our areas, and we like to collaborate. We also like to collaborate with outside influences like Thomas Schlesher, our architect friend that has designed all of our restaurants with the exception of Pacific Standard Time. Our graphic designer, Jason Pickleman from J&L Design, he's another entity I don't want to use the word entity, but his entity helps us design the tangible items that people touch and look at. It. The visuals really important to our concepts, very important.
Yes, for sure. And you've been called out on that. I know for James Beard, you've been received some awards. So, and I've been to most of your restaurants, which I'm very proud of. I feel like I'm missing like one or two, but I love everything you guys do. Let's take a little break, and then we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk a little more with Donnie about everything else going on with him and one off. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Sherry.
This is All in the Industry. Hello. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Donnie Medea. He's the managing partner and owner of One Off Hospitality Group based in Chicago. So, Donnie, how do you manage everything? Like what's your current role, and like what's a typical day in the life? Because you have a lot going on.
The day in the life of running restaurants. Everyone thinks it's a glamorous job. You go to work and you dress appropriate to what restaurant you're working in, and people see you and they want to interact with you and talk to you, and those are all the wonderful interactions of hospitality and guests enjoying. I think the major crust of the day-to-day operations is spent in the office, whether it's admin, workman comp issues, employment, labor, food cost, all of those wonderful aspects that people don't see on your face, the reality on the day-to-day. But when you go into the restaurant, you have to wash that away and just be the perfect host and the most welcoming host. And my job is to make people happy, because they're, depending on what restaurant they're dining at, you either have 45 minutes lunchtime or 3 hours or 2 hours to make someone feel very incredible, because they're putting themselves in your hands. And you can't bring any of the day-to-day operational stuff with you. You have to leave that behind. So it's a little bit of a facelift, if I may say that, use that phrase, to make sure that you recalibrate, that your overall goal is to make people happy. And I believe that most of the restaurants that I've been in or that I work in, that's the one goal that we try to accomplish at a high level. But a lot of the day-to-day operational stuff is sometimes a little bit hard or stressful based on what you're dealing with. Is it an employment situation? Is it a workman's comp situation? So the glamour is at night, but the day-to-day is in the day, and you have to work diligently and hard at both of those.
Right.
I hope that was good for you.
It was, and I'm guessing that little swoosh noise is the L train going by.
Yeah, it is.
I remember that well. I like it. I feel like it's adding ambiance to our show. It's good.
It's almost like being in in Brooklyn under the L tracks there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not too far away from it.
No. I'm here. We're in the backyard of Roberta's, and staff meal is happening on the other side of the window. So if you might get a little noise from that, but I
please
love
grab me a slice.
Yeah, see if they'll send me one in too.
I love that pizza. I love their pizza. It's delicious.
Yeah, it's a great spot. So what advice would you give to someone who wants to be a restaurateur?
I believe that making your vision singular instead of thinking about two or three concepts down the road. I also believe that right now developers need us more than we need them. I'm not saying that's a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying that retail is in somewhat of a difficult position right now. So developers are looking to restaurateurs and chefs to take on space that they're creating for their businesses. And not that they're getting away from retail, but they're also, I believe that they're building spaces in their buildings for food and beverage and hospitality. So what I'm concerned with is there's a lot of new openings, and you know, what used to be 20 restaurants is now 50 restaurants, or 50 restaurants in one in 6 months openings. So, I'm sure you see it in New York. There's a new opening every week almost. So
every day, there's multiple ones every day. Come on, yeah, it's a lot happening.
I think taking your time and finessing what you want to create, meaning it took us 5 years to do our second concept. And both of those concepts are very manageable. They're right next door to one another. We're lucky enough that we made really smart decisions. We own both of those real estate deals. So my advice would be to make sure that the real estate deal is weighed a little heavier on your side than on the landlord side. Don't allow the TI money or the work order money drive your deal. Make sure that you sit down and calculate your numbers over a course of 20 years, if that's the length of your lease. What I'm trying to say is really be proactive in the real estate deal before you worry about your next deal. Make sure that that deal is set up for 20 years and you can pay the rent in the coldest months, quarter one, especially in New York and Chicago. But more importantly, in Chicago, our winters are extremely cold and sometimes can be very snowy and wet, and people stay home. And with DoorDash and Grubhub, people are more adapted to maybe just stay home instead of going out.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for one-off hospitality? Is there a new concept coming? And would you ever open outside of Chicago?
Great questions. I wish that I had the vision to go outside of Chicago, but thinking about New York and thinking about Los Angeles or those bigger markets, what concerns me is personally, our notoriety and also construction cost, real estate cost in other towns. Like, I'm in awe at some of the restaurant openings in New York, how big they are, what the lease arrangements are, and it scares me. I don't know. And plus, I think that you have an immense amount of smaller operators that operate, you know, great, like Tom from Estella. I love those guys. I love what they do. And then I have friendships with Danielle and what he does. I don't know if I would want to go up against those guys. Keith McNally, Danny Meyer, Danielle, Joe Bastianich. I'd be nervous to bring one of my concepts and try to slide in around or near their concepts. I mean, wouldn't you agree with me?
Well, I'm thinking they might be scared to go up against you. How about that? I mean, you have an amazing restaurant group and amazing concepts, and I'm not saying like leave Chicago, but I think, I mean, being that I live here, I would welcome one of your restaurants in New York City. So,
Sherry, you're kind, and I don't know if I can afford that rent, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I've been coming to Chicago every year for the Beard Awards, so that's when I've had all these opportunities to eat at your restaurant. So I'm going to hit a few more when I come back next year.
please feel free to contact me, and I would love to host you and take care of you when you come into town. Really.
You're so sweet. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take one more break. Stay with us, Donnie, because we're going to come back and we're going to play my speed round game.
Oh, man, I'm going to be on point.
All right.
I hope I can talk as fast as a New Yorker.
All right. Well, you have like about a minute to prep for it, and then we're going to come back.
Right.
So stay with us.
Thank you.
Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. From papayas and samosas to reishi mushrooms, if it's something that sounds delicious, chances are you'll find the freshest, best version of it at Whole Foods Market. They have more than 400 stores across the country, so if you consider pizza its own food group or just can't imagine when avocado toast wasn't a thing, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com to find a store near you. Whole Foods Market. Whatever makes you whole.
This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Donnie Madea. So, Donnie, it's time for my speed round game. What this is I name a couple of things, and you pick your preference, such as chocolate or vanilla.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
And it's only chocolate and vanilla?
Well, that's
everything.
Well, how you play the game is how you play the game. I just present the questions.
Got it. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Eat in or eat out?
My wife will fight me on this. She's a homebody. She loves to cook. She's a great cook. Eat in.
Okay. Wine, beer, cocktail, or mocktail?
Wine.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
Small plates.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Communal plate. Both. I love them both. I can only choose one.
Oh, you're going with communal at first. But
I can do both. I like the counter.
Yeah. Okay. How about tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Please allow me to tip graciously. Always.
Nice. A few more. The Cubs or the White Sox?
I'm upset that I'm upset at the loss. I stayed up until 12:30 last night. As a child, I was in love with the White Sox. As an adult, we have a big star at Wrigley. I love Wrigley Field. I love the grass. I love the green. I love to just sit there because there's very little advertisement. So I'm a Cub fan now.
Yeah, I love that. I love the Cubs. I love that stadium. That's cool. You guys are in there now. Okay, I got three more. Chicago deep dish or New York style pizza?
New York.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm not a deep dish guy ever. Never.
How about cheese plate or dessert?
Dessert.
Last one's Manhattan, Brooklyn, or Chicago.
Oh, you're killing me. I have certain reasons why. Okay, I love Manhattan because of all of the buildings. Standing in the middle of Park Avenue and looking uptown or downtown, the amount of buildings is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Brooklyn, edgy. I love Berry Street in Williamsburg. I love the promenade from Brooklyn Heights. So, but I love Chicago because you can live a little easier and not be on top of one another, and you can have a lot more space if you prefer living in the Chicago metropolitan area and not spend billions for a condo.
Wow.
So Chicago.
Okay.
But I had to give you my explanation why.
They were great explanations. Really, really. Well, I mean, I get it. I get it. I didn't think that. It was a great answer, and you played the game well.
Thank you.
A few surprises in there for me. So we are going to. I'm going to switch things up on this show a little bit, just because we have it as a call-in, and so we're going to do the final question now, and then we're going to take a break, and then I have a taped interview I did from Skift Restaurant Forum that I was at a couple weeks ago, and then finish up with my solo dining experience. So before we take one more break, for you, Donnie, I would like to ask you to ask a question for my next guest. So I'm having on Pavia Rosati. She's the founder of Fathom, which is a travel website inspiring journeys all over the world. And you can ask her anything. So what would you like to ask her?
I love Italy. I love this certain area right now, Puglia. My question is, does she like the south portion of Puglia or the northern portion of Puglia?
All right, I'll find out. Now I want to go to both.
Yeah.
I'll see what she says. She's an expert.
I hope the question is accepted well, and I'm hoping that she's gone there and can rattle out a for instance or happenstance that she ran into.
Okay, I'll find out. I have a feeling she's been there. So,
call me when you come to Chicago. I'd love to meet you in person. I love your Danny Meyer conversation, and I'm a big fan of New York and everything New York. And I love Roberta's, been there several times. So you're in a really good space.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, I will let you know, and I believe you're going to be in town next week to celebrate your 20th anniversary at a James Beard House dinner. So I hope to try to see you when you're in town as well.
Come have a cocktail with us.
All right. I'm going to do that.
At the Beard House.
Yeah, I'm in. And thank you. And congratulations on all of your success and everything.
I'll ask Shelley I'll ask Yvonne to save you a seat. How's that?
Well, that's even better, but don't go out. I mean, if they can fit me in, I would be honored to be there, but yes, I'm just happy for you. So whatever you can do, but otherwise I'll stop by and just congratulate you in person.
Beautiful. Look forward to meeting you. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and sorry about the malfunction at the beginning.
That's okay. We got through it. And enjoy the rest of your day. And we're going to take one more break and then come back, and we have my interview and solo dining experience. So we'll be right back.
And I'm off, right?
You're off. Bye.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
And we're back. This is Only Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. So now for industry news, instead of a discussion, I have a taped interview I did from the Skift Restaurant Forum by Skift Table. I spoke with Christine Holly. She is the senior restaurant editor of Skift Table. So it's about a 7-minute interview, and we're going to play it back now. So I hope you enjoy. So hi, start out, tell me your name and your title.
I'm Kristen Holly, I'm a senior editor at Skift Table.
And for people who don't know, what is Skift Table?
Skift Table is a B2B website, mostly, primarily, and we cover the business of restaurants. So that's everything about a restaurant's operations, from chefs to finance to operations to labor, anything that goes into running a restaurant, we cover.
And when did you join Skift Table?
So I had a newsletter called Chefs Plus Tech. I had it for about 5 years. And 2 years ago, Skift approached me and they bought it from me. And then they ran it as is for a year, with me still contributing as the writer-editor. And then a year ago, we renamed it Skift Table, and we spun it into a website also. So a big part of our business model is also the daily newsletter that we have, that goes out 5 days a week.
And you spun off a forum, which we're at.
Yes.
So this is the first year you're doing the restaurant forum?
Yes.
In New York? Or
it's the first year period.
First year period. So how does this forum tie into everything you're doing on the website and with the newsletter?
I like to call this event Skift Table Live, because this is literally the live version of everything that we cover. The speakers run the spectrum from chefs to restaurateurs to operations people. Technology is a huge part of our site. Skift, the company, is about 6 years old. They started as a B2B travel site, and they cover the business of travel. They're in their fifth year of produced events similar to this one, so it was very natural that we were going to have an event, even just as a one-year-old brand, because there's real value in sort of bringing what we do on the internet to life in front of people.
Yeah, no, it's smart. So how did you come up with the theme and the lineup, which is really impressive?
For today?
Yes.
Thank you, first of all. We're very excited about the lineup. We're thrilled. And, you know, I would say everyone that is on the lineup was part of our A-list of invitees. So we're thrilled that everyone said yes. So the theme, you know, collaboration, loosely, is, you know, it's been a really rough year in the industry. There's been a lot of terrible news. There's been a lot of bad news, and it's been not that exciting to come to work some days, because you're kind of like, what's happening next? And, you know, hospitality is a human business, and to see other people hurting or not doing well because of bad actions is really challenging. So, you know, we were sort of starting to get the vibe that people were getting a little bit run down and tired of talking about it negatively, and we were like, what's next? What comes next out of this? And what we're finding, and what we've been really diving deep into, is the next step seems to be, let's all work together, right? And that could be in a pure, straight, collaborative sense, like some of the chefs and restaurateurs that we put on stage. And it could just be, you know, being a kind person and being a good contributor to the industry, which, you know, everyone that's on our stage embodies today. But we just felt it was really important to push a positive message, because what we do at Skift Table is think about the future and think about what's coming and what's happening. And I think the future is bright, and I think there's a lot of potential and a lot of promise and a lot of people working very hard to make sure that the industry moves forward. So we wanted to highlight that instead of the negativity.
Yeah, no, that's, I like people, yeah, we need positivity. Yeah. And on my show, I talk about industry news every week, and there's been a lot of tough industry news this year. So you always wait to see what the story is. So, yeah, having positive stories and more, you know, giving us hope is great.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's also like not, you know, I'm not trying to be touchy-feely feel good. I want to be realistic. A Skift Table is very realistic, but we are forward-looking, and, you know, if we're going to collectively move forward as an industry, I think it's important to highlight the positive stories, because there are so many of them.
Yeah, true. So who are some of the speakers that have been here today that you've been most excited about? And you moderated a few of the panels as well.
So as editor, I got to pick first.
Good for you.
Yeah. So I'm truly excited about all of them, I will
yeah.
say. So my, you know, Stephanie Izard, was my first celebrity chef interview 10 years ago.
Oh, right really?
After she won Top Chef. Mm-hmm. So that was a pet interview for me to have her and Kevin on stage.
It was a great interview, and fun fact on my behalf is I am a University of Michigan graduate, and so is Stephanie, and I always am like, go blue to her, and she's like, oh, okay, yeah. Because my identity, when I learned she also went to Michigan, I was like, oh, cool, we have something else in common, you know.
Yeah, so I was very excited about that. Personal level.
Yeah.
But also because, you know, she has seen such great success, and as Kevin Bain mm-hmm. said on stage, she's relentless in her pursuit of excellence. And,
yeah.
You know, they were telling me that Girl and the Goat Chicago hasn't dipped. In fact, every year it keeps going up and up and up and up. She was kind of like, you know, when do you close it down? When do you stop? And, you know, everything is very positive in her world. She's really excited about it.
Yeah.
So that was great.
And I'm excited about their LA opening that they talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
New city. Yeah, I think they're all very excited about it. It's a big challenge, as they said on stage, from logistics and labor to just opening in a new market without, you know, the familiarity of Boca's 19 restaurants behind them and
right.
her three and, you know, the built-in fan base in Chicago. Otherwise, I think, you know, my background is in technology, so I get super excited. I was happy to talk to Grubhub this morning. I'm going to talk to Krista Quarles from Open Table at the end of the day. I think especially those two companies specifically have been around in this space for some time, and seeing how they've evolved, adapted as large public companies has been really fascinating to me. So those conversations, I think, are exciting ones too.
Yeah, no, that's great. So is this going to be an annual conference?
Yes. We will be back September 23rd.
Oh, you have a date.
We do. We do.
Great. And so then just for people to, are you videoing the sessions, or will they
yes.
be available for people down
yes.
the road?
Yep. So
okay.
we're going to run all of the sessions on Skift Table, table.skift.com. We'll roll them out as soon as they're ready. We'll also have some recaps and some other things. But the videos, I think, if you look at previous Skift forums focused on travel, the videos are, one, extremely well produced, but two, really... our sessions are short. They're about 20 minutes a piece, so we really get to the heart of things very quickly, and so it's a fun watch. It's a very informative watch as well.
Yeah, fun, informative, smart. So, well, it's been a great day, so thank you so much.
Great, thanks for joining us.
And for the final segment of my show today, I'm going to do my solo dining experience. So, this week, it's at Boulay at Home. Here's the rundown. The location, 31 West 21st Street, New York City. The concept, an immersive fine dining restaurant with its menu drawing from French and Asian traditions, plus an educational community of health and nutrition, living pantry, and building blocks that define taste and happiness. The chef and owner, David Boulay. So why did I go? Because I was in the neighborhood and I heard wonderful, wonderful things about this new restaurant or new-ish restaurant from the brilliant Boulay. And it was a spontaneous decision to go have a nice leisurely lunch. So my experience, I quickly made a reservation online and I soon found myself seated in what might be the most elegantly homey restaurant in New York City. It almost felt as if I was dining in this posh furniture store that had this old school feel and had a gorgeous open kitchen. The maitre d' and servers took really great care of me, and I felt like a lady who lunches. So what did I get? Now, I was planning to go a la carte, but their lunch service is really intended for a tasting menu. They offer a 5-course tasting menu where you pick your choices. There's about 3 choices under each category. So I figured when in Rome, I'm going to do the tasting menu. So I chose to get the Malibu Sea Urchin, Forager's Treasure of Wild Mushrooms with Grilled Toro, West Coast Lobster, Pineapple Granita, and the Valrhona Chocolate Frivolous. And they sent me out an extra course of Boulay's Porcini Flan with Alaskan Dungeness Crab. So my take, it was really one of the most exquisite lunches I've ever had. All the flavors were distinct and perfectly balanced, and nothing was very heavy either. There was an elegance to every dish, and the chocolate finale was certainly divine. Their bread is amazing, too. The ambiance, so it's casually elegant and homey with this gorgeous open kitchen, and they have a little bakery up front as well that is more meant to take out the bread and some of the pastries. So I'd say it's perfect for ladies who lunch. Interesting tidbit, Boulay uses the space for class demonstrations. And when you go to his website, you'll see there's many options. Personal fun fact, several years ago, I celebrated my birthday at Boulay's Boulay in Tribeca. It was also exquisite, and they had this bread cart they rolled around, which is legendary. So he is known for his bread. So the cost of this meal was $75. That is not including tax, but it is including gratuity because he's hospitality included. Would I go back? Yes, I would. And their website is davidboulay.com. So that is the show today. I want to give a big shout out to Donnie Medea. He is the managing partner and owner of One Off Hospitality Group. Thank him for coming on the show and congrats on 20 years of Blackbird. And also thanks to his publicist, Heidi Hageman, who helped set this up today. Their website is oneoffhospitality.com, Instagram at Donnie Medea, and at oneoffhospitality. I'd also like to thank Skift Table's Kristen Holly, who joined me for my interview from the Skift Restaurant Forum to find out more about what she does and to find all those videos and everything from the conference. You can go to table.skift.com and their Instagram is Skift Table. Thanks to my engineer today, Noam, who helped pull everything together. I'm Sherry Bayer. And I will be back next week with another live show. If you'd like to follow me, I'm at Sherry Bayer at Bayer PR at All Industry. And my Facebook page is All in the Industry. My websites are BayerPublicRelations.com and SherryBayer.com. And all of our shows are archived at HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We are also on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. So thank you for being part of All in the Industry. Tune in next week. I'll be back then, and I look forward to connecting with you. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.